Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. The 7th Gen Summer Program at Crazy Horse Memorial is a partnership between the University of South Dakota and the Indian University of North America at Crazy Horse. Students earn transferable college credits and participate in other college prep courses to ease their transition into higher education. Our guests joining us by phone today are here to tell us more about that program. First, we welcome John Little. He's the director of the Indian University of North America. John, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me today. It's really great to be here.
Also joining us, Megan Redshirt Shaw. She's Associate Director of Admissions with the program. Megan, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, John, I'll start with you. And for folks who aren't familiar with this program, it's existed for more than a decade now, but tell us about the goals of the 7th Gen program and the work that you're doing.
Yeah, that's thank you. So we actually just started our 11th summer with the program. We're having to do it a little bit differently, obviously with COVID-19, and we can talk about that too. But yeah, the original goals of the program is really just to help Native American students get through to and through college. And so students come here, they earn 12 college credits, and then we also do a 22-hour-a-week paid work experience. And then really work with them on academic advising and kind of getting them prepped for everything. We call it getting their ducks in a row for school in the fall. And so it's really kind of a really well-rounded program. It's an 8-week program, and it's a really intense program, but it's really rewarding for students that do go through it. And I think it really helps them, like I said, get to and through college.
Right. And you know, under normal circumstances, those students would be in person staying at the Crazy Horse Memorial. Of course, that's not possible this year. Talk to us about how you're adjusting to going virtual because of COVID.
Yeah. So we trimmed up the class sizes. So normally we have 32 students in person on campus. This year we have 18 students, and we're kind of doing usually instead of the 12 credits, they're doing 6 credits. And so Megan is actually one of the instructors for a class called ANS 100, which is kind of our key class, which really provides them a lot of great skills for taking the college in the fall. Mm-hmm. And then obviously no work experience or internship experience this summer, but we're doing the best we can. And I think they're still getting an opportunity to earn 6 college credits. And, the tuition is completely paid for free. And so it's a really great opportunity for them to earn 6 credits while they're stuck at home. So do you have any...
Yeah. And being able to earn those credits reduces some of that financial burden for their freshman year. Megan, talk to us about some of the prep work that you're doing with these students this year.
Absolutely. So I actually just got off of teaching about 5 minutes ago, and a lot of the topics that we're covering involve transition to college, talking about cost of college, talking about scheduling advising, what it's like to get involved on campus, how you create a roommate contract for housing. So there are a lot of different kind of things that I think, unfortunately, many high schools don't have the capacity to talk to students about. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the things that's really special and unique about our program, is that we do have the 8 weeks to talk to them about what their fall is going to look like. And I think this summer in particular, we're trying to tailor those to the possibility that their remote learning may continue into the next 2 semesters or next 1 semester. And so we're trying to cover all of those factors so that they're not only prepared for in-person learning, but also online learning in their futures.
Right. We talked a little bit last week in preparation for this segment, and Megan, you mentioned kind of that interesting problem that we find ourselves in this year, not just for Native students, but for many first-year college students who are considering whether or not they should go on campus in the fall, whether that's safe for them, whether they should take a gap year or do online classes only or something like that. Tell us a little bit about the conversations you're having with students and maybe with high school counselors too about navigating these unique times.
Absolutely. I think, one of the things that we really try to encourage our students to think about, many Native students, they think a lot about the people outside of themselves. So they think often about their family, they think about their friends, they think about their community. One of the things that we're really trying to encourage them to consider is that college is their choice. It's their agency to make the decision about what they feel is going to be the best for them in the fall. And so for some of them, we're having very real conversations and saying, I don't know if I feel completely safe with going to an in-person program. Or there are other students who are saying, I think that my best learning happens when I'm in a physical classroom. and they're considering, you know, maybe taking a semester off or pushing forward with a regular fall program. So, you know, I think that all of these conversations are very individualized. We want them to feel encouraged in whatever they feel like is going to be the best fit for their process. And just giving them a myriad of options and saying, you know, this is your experience, this is your choice, and we want to empower you to feel comfortable in making those decisions for yourself.
Mm-hmm. John, talk to us about the name of this summer program.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So formerly, we were just the Indian University of North America, and then we're actually working on expanding the program. So, you know, the first 10 years, it was really just a summer program. And so we decided to switch the name to the 7th Gen Summer Program, and that has a lot of different meanings for a lot of different Native people. But the reason I like the term 7th Gen is because we should be thinking 7 generations forward. And so really that's kind of, we thought, we're helping Native students first, a lot of times who are first gen, going to college in the fall, and we're kind of helping them get there and then just creating a better world for them and their communities. And then we also want to consider our 7 generations in the past. So they want to carry their ancestors and their relatives with them, whether it's their siblings, you know, their parents, their grandparents, really carry those with them when they're going to school. And so it's kind of got a multi-layered term. And so that's really kind of why we chose the name 7 Gen. We thought it was a really good indicator of both of those generations, future and past.
Mm-hmm. And students, Native students who go through this program, they'll have a lot of things in common with other first-generation college students going to school in South Dakota, and then there will be challenges that are really unique to them. John, you mentioned earlier how this program is all about helping students get to and through college. Talk to us about some of those unique challenges that Native students face in higher education and how this program helps them.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times, like Megan said earlier, I think sometimes the schools are pretty limited in what their resources are. And so, you know, sometimes we're getting students who have not applied for FAFSA or who don't have scholarships. And so we're kind of identifying resources for them to get through that, helping them apply for tribal higher education and different resources that are going to help them provide funding for them. And I think that, you know, just having those initial conversations with them, the work experience when we're in person is also a really good experience because sometimes it's their first time having a job. And mm-hmm. so kind of balancing school and also a job. And so really just providing a lot of different tools for them. And our program is actually pretty intertribal. So we actually usually have multiple tribes. So I think 2 years ago, I think we had 22 different tribal nations represented and 10 different states. Last year, I think we had 17 and 8 states. And this year, I think we have 4 states represented and about 12 tribes represented. And so it's a unique program, and it's something that we're constantly learning on. You know, different tribes are doing tribal higher education differently. They're providing different resources. And so it's kind of keeping us on our toes at the same time. But it's just really kind of helping students navigate a lot of that system because it sometimes feels like a place that's not for them. And like we've talked about, you know, a lot of times they're the first one in their family maybe to graduate from high school or the first one in their family to actually attend college. And so sometimes at home, they're not getting, you know, people that have been in that situation before. And so we're kind of helping provide just little simple resources like that. And then also connecting them with other students on campus. We have had 281 former students go through the program now in the first 10 years. And so I'm able to say if a student's going to go to Augustana or South Dakota State or the University of South Dakota, I can say, oh, like I know their resources on campus. I know who their Native director is, or I know another college student who's currently there that can kind of help them and guide them and actually maybe take them to class or give them a tour of campus, different things like that. And so kind of making the world a little bit smaller place for them too.
Right. Megan, talk to us about preparing students once they're on campus, how to navigate these kind of often complicated bureaucratic systems and things like that, and how this level of preparation now can help these campuses also retain students better.
You know, I think for those of us that have gone through the college process, those of us maybe who were raised in families that celebrated or acknowledged higher education. Mm-hmm. We take for granted the things that we know about what colleges and universities have as resources.
Right.
So even referencing something that may seem, you know, very understandable to us, office hours. What are office hours? What does that mean for students? Really walking through those terms and things that perhaps as higher ed professionals we take for granted, we have to be very clear about what those terms are for our students, talking to them about scheduling advising appointments, about the different learning centers that are on campus. We talk a lot about the different identity centers that are on campus as well. So is there a Native center? Is there an LGBTQ center? Is there a particular demographic that you identify that has support systems that are already in place on campus? So I think, again, just sort of providing them a broad range of options and also defining terms, something I don't want to take for granted with them. I want them all to feel like they're on an even playing field when they go to college. They come into our class on an uneven playing field because many of them have had varied support systems and resources in their life prior to being part of the 7th Gen Summer Program. But when they go to college, I want them all to feel like they have the same toolkit as any other student that's been in the classroom with them throughout the summer. And I think that's the most important part in serving Native students. A lot of them feel a lot of responsibility to their communities. They want to be ready. They want to be able to come home after they graduate and serve. And so how do we get them there, and how do we help them be successful if that's a part of their dreams moving forward?
What are some ways that this program is expanding partnerships with other universities, whether that's through dedicated programs or improving recruitment and retention of Native students? I'm not sure which one of you would feel best able to speak to that, or both, but what does that look like, expanding these partnerships?
Yeah, I think I'll start, and then I think Megan can get anything I miss. So I think the first thing we're doing, the big major step for us right now, is we're currently expanding our program to a fall program. It's going to be called the Wheezy Pond Fall Program, and that's going to be in partnership with South Dakota State University. And that's, we're starting that for the first time this fall. It's going to be focused on sustainability and leadership. And then students actually will be earning a certificate in sustainability and leadership when they're done with it. And that one's different than our summer program. It's going to be modeled off of a study abroad. And so it's going to be designed for students who are sophomores or juniors, and really just going to provide them with 15 college credits. And then there's no really like work experience internship component of it. Just kind of focused on them kind of thinking about an indigenous methodology, indigenous perspective into research and sustainability and different things like that. And so it's a really exciting partnership that's going to be starting. And then we're also starting different things like a thing called the 7th Gen College Fair. We actually had it planned for this last April. COVID kind of shifted things up with that, but we had, I think, around 50 colleges confirmed for that, and around 500 to 600 Native students that were going to be attending that event. So it really showed us that there's a need for that, a really need for bringing colleges and universities here. Because I think so many times South Dakota is kind of flyover country for not just Native students, but I think South Dakota in general, people kind of ignore us. And so I think it was hopefully going to put us on the map. And I think we're working on expanding that and maybe shifting that. We did postpone it to this October. We're kind of looking at ideas right now. I don't know if maybe doing a college fair with a few hundred people is the best idea right now. And so we're looking into ways to maybe put it virtually this year, but we're hoping to make that an annual event as well. And then we're just kind of constantly reevaluating and looking at needs in Indian country and South Dakota to see what we can provide. So we have a few things that we're kind of thinking about as far as maybe expanding to junior programming or other things that are going to help Native students more and just prepare them better in the future.
Mm-hmm. I think as Native educators, we believe and see and understand that our students deserve a seat at the table. They've always deserved a seat at the table in higher education. We really want to make connections with counselors, high schools, programs, particularly here in the Great Plains region. The way that we're going to push our students forward is by coming together as a community. That's very central to who we are as Indigenous people, is that the only way that we're going to push our students forward is if we're all there cheering them on. And so I think even just informally making those connections and networking and trying to have conversations with people that are doing on the ground work similar to us is really, really important and essential to us in moving forward as well.
Mm-hmm. John, with that Wheezy Pond Fall program modeled off study abroad, would that mean that then the college students are coming to Crazy Horse for that program?
Yeah. So that's actually, and we're constantly evaluating that right now with COVID-19 as well, too. We were planning to have it be, around 20 students, and I think we're going to trim that up a little bit to 12 to 15, just so that each student can have their own room. And we're kind of already thinking about, necessary precautions for that. But it is going to be a smaller program this first year, just just being aware of everything that's going on. But yeah, that'll be, students will be visiting here. And it's going to run from, you know, August to around November. We just adjusted the dates with in the Board of Regents kind of making their announcement to adjust their schedules. So we're going to kind of go and schedule with them as well.
Right. What's the best way for folks who are interested in these programs to follow progress and stay up to date on information?
Yeah, so we've been really working on that too, is kind of expanding our social media and outreach. And so actually the easiest way for us to see us, I guess, or what we're doing is just to follow us on social media. So I don't know the handle off the top of my head, but it's the Indian University of North America. You know, we're on Instagram is kind of our big one, and then also Facebook. And so, you know, if people can just go and like that page, and we're sharing constantly resources, not just about the program, but also sharing scholarship opportunities and internships, fellowships, basically anything we find that are related to Native students that are going to help them succeed. And then we also have the website. If you just go to the Crazy Horse Memorial, we're on their website as well, too.
If you Google 7th Gen Summer Program, we're the first thing that comes up. So
that's another way.
Great. You got that search engine optimization working in your favor on that one.
Perfect. Yep. Yeah.
My guests have been John Little, Director of the Indian University of North America. John, thanks so much for your work and for being here today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Also joining us, Megan Redshirt Shaw, Associate Director of Admissions. Megan, thanks to you as well.
Pilame, thank you so much.
You're welcome back anytime.